Welcome to the Off the Charts Football Podcast. I'm Matt Matichariot of Sports Info Solutions, joined as always by the R&D Jamboree, Alex Vigderman, James Weaver, and Bryce Rossler. We might have to change that name soon. It might not be the Jamboree anymore. We've got our producer, Justin Stein, with us. Yes, Alex?
I was just going to say that sounds dire. Like, we're not, none of us is going anywhere.
Right. We just, the Jamboree is a fluid, it's a fluid living thing and might become something else soon. So, cryptic talk aside, let's talk about football. We are through 2 weeks of the NFL season. We went through the overreactions last week, and now people are starting to ask, like, 0-2, 2-0, is it for real? It's amazing how big the difference is. Some of these, one play goes differently and you feel very different about your season through just two games. We did a win totals draft before the season started where we looked at whether we wanted overs and unders for different teams around the league. And some of those win total lines have moved and they've changed a little bit since that based on the first 2 weeks of the season. I think unsurprisingly, you can imagine that Aaron Rodgers being out changed the Jets' win probability, even as they won their first game of the season. But we're going to go through today and talk about some of those teams that have had their lines move the most. We'll look at all the teams that moved by at least two wins since the preseason lines that we looked at and take a fresh look at what we think of those and whether we think things really should be moving like that or perhaps if we want to pump the brakes on it a little bit. As always, you can check out our work on the33rdteam.com and at sportsinfosolutions.com, of course. James, let's start off with you. You are our betting guru of the crew. No surprise, we mentioned the Jets. They were one of the teams that you selected in the win total draft. I imagine you're feeling pretty good about that under 9.5 pick right now.
Yeah, if I felt good about it with Aaron Rodgers at 9.5, I think I feel okay about it with Zach Wilson being the quarterback. The win total's down to 6.5 now. That, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that. That might be a little too low. Watching this defense play, I feel like this team might have a high floor, just the way they get after. I mean, they foil Josh Allen doing anything productive in the second half in that first game. Obviously, against the Cowboys, it's a little tough heading down to Dallas, giving up 30 points. But yeah, I mean, the big switch from Rodgers to Zach Wilson is going to lead to that drop. It'll be interesting to see what happens these next couple of weeks because I'm very curious if they'll pursue another quarterback at some point.
Yeah, so that's where I wanted to go because I'm not a bettor, so I don't know these things, but I was trying to figure, okay, if I had bet on the Jets under 9.5, I'm feeling pretty good about that. I probably just hang on to that. No need to worry there. If I had the over for some reason, that's pretty much worthless right now. So I didn't know that there was a big play here, but if it's down at 6.5 and that's sort of pricing in Zach Wilson, if they go and get mediocre, is there actually, we'll probably see that number jump up if that were to happen, right? So in a way, there's a bet to be made. Like if you think they will make that change, then that could, like to your point, they won more than that many games last year with Zach Wilson. So,
right. And with the running backs, Breece Hall, Dalvin Cook, I mean, there's still plenty of talent on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, I touched on the defense, but yeah, 6.5, I think you can only look over at that point.
Yeah, I think getting a middle here is very doable. And to your point, James, even with Wilson, I think that 7 wins is viable. It's just looked very bad over the first couple weeks, but that doesn't mean that there's not room for improvement to even mediocre, as Matt's describing.
And there's definitely room for improvement.
Well, yeah, sure. Not just room, but actually like a reasonable likelihood. Yeah.
There's a lever.
A reasonable likelihood of it.
Like, how long could you let this ride out?
I do think that this is a different... So, like, last year, we were kind of in the same spot where there were questions of, okay, how long do they stay with Zach Wilson and whatever? But, like, a year later, there's less, like...
Yeah, but last year, it was about building the franchise. This year, it's about this year's...
Right, exactly. Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Is this year, there's less room left on Wilson's rookie contract. The team has been built up a little bit with the understanding that you'd be competing. So yeah, I think it's a different question than it was last year in terms of like giving Zach Wilson the opportunity to play himself into success. Like they have more urgency this year.
Yeah, I don't know how long that leash resides. be interesting to see. There's a quarterback in Minnesota that could maybe find his way over there, but I don't know.
All right. Well, going from the Jets, which I got to say, coming into the podcast, I was like, that's going to be a boring conversation. Like, obviously, like, duh. But well, I think, like, it is kind of interesting if you try to hit that middle there. You could kind of double up on two nice bets there if you really...
That's as big as a window as you could possibly think to get, especially 2 weeks into the season, right? To have it change by that much and feel like there's actually room on the top end of that.
I would maybe wait one more week because Mr. Belichick might have a solution for Zach Wilson as he's had the last four times.
Well, what if he does that and he makes it so clear that they need to sign somebody or trade for somebody that it's too late?
That the total becomes entirely based on the assumption that there's another quarterback by next
week? Right, that people are just like, oh, they can't let this fly. They're going to obviously sign somebody.
Well, no, I think those numbers will be dictated by what the opportunities left of wins are. So I would say the floor could certainly be after this week. Like, I think there's more opportunity to maybe bottom out a little bit more and then hitting the over.
That line dropped by three games and they're 1-1.
Yeah.
There's one win already on the ledger. Like,
yeah, unbelievable.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay. On the other hand, James, you were feeling good about the Panthers, feeling good about their number one overall pick coming into the season. You said you'll take the over 7.5 in the weak division, and it hasn't been pretty so far. The line is 5.5.
Yeah, I think I picked two wrong teams in the NFC South. Turns out the Buccaneers apparently might go undefeated and win the Super Bowl with Baker Mayfield, which would be more of a hilarious thing to Cleveland, but I digress. Yeah, the Panthers, they're offensively going to struggle. It seems like Bryce Young still has a while to get into his own. Receivers aren't getting open. There's some talk about play calling issues with Frank Reich and their offensive coordinator. I will say defensively, they're playing pretty solid. Evero's got that defense working, limiting the Saints. Falcons kind of took over in the second half in the first week. But yeah, I think offensively, they're in trouble this year.
So I take it you would throw away the 7.5?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think that's well under at this point. Also not feeling good.
5.5. What about 5.5? That's pretty low for it to drop for a team that we kind of thought might be reasonable this year, just in 2 weeks. That feels too low to me.
I don't know. I don't know. It just doesn't seem like Bryce is comfortable in that. I think they're in trouble on offense. Like,
they look like they're the fourth place team in that division right now. But I don't know. I'm not ready to give up on Bryce Young quite yet.
I'm not giving up on him. I think, man, in this year it could be just a wash.
Let's be adults. Like, this football is a game for big people. It's not meant for people.
This is going to sound like Bryce is joking, but Bryce,
I'm not joking.
Yeah,
I'm not joking. Like, football is a game for big people, and size and speed outliers have always existed in the NFL, but there's a limit, and everything looks really hard for him right now. Like he's fighting for his life right there.
So I guess the question for for anybody here is, like, how I think that the 5.5 kind of assumes that the team is, like, maybe a little bit better than what they've shown the rest of the year. Is how much expectation should we have of Bryce Young getting more comfortable and improving over the course of the remaining 80% of the season?
If he had more talent and more supporting cast around him, and that I really doubt.
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty big limitation on the ceiling, right? I think that probably before the year we might have thought that their floor wasn't this low, but certainly would never have thought that their ceiling was very high. And the defense would need to pick up. The offense was definitely, like, the expectation. But if Young was, like, fine as a rookie quarterback, the skill position players would limit the ability to do anything particularly exciting, but at least it would be like a 22nd ranked offense or something. And that's not what we're seeing.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't think we've seen it. It's been two games. So go back to Bryce's point. I had an old boss that used to say there's a place in football for the little man, but it's not behind all the big men, which is a reference to the quarterback position. And it being to Bryce's point, not a position for little people. That said, he was a pretty damn good college football quarterback as a quote unquote little person. And they're playing players that are basically just about the same size as NFL players in Alabama and in the SEC. So I'm just not so convinced that after 2 weeks that we can declare this player that otherwise has clear special talents. And he's shown them in flashes in the first 2 weeks to just say, like, I'm out on this. Like, if size is the concern, I'm concerned about him being injured. I don't know that, like, his skill level, I don't know that I agree with you, Bryce, because it sounds like your argument is about he's too small to be skilled at this game.
No, my argument is that he doesn't have the exceptional skill to justify being as small as he is.
That's fair. You got to be a super duper outlier if you want to overcome deficiencies. Like, any scouting system is going to harp on that. Obviously, the league thought that he had all that coming into this year. That's why he got drafted where he did.
Well, yeah, I think, Matt, to your point, like, what we could observe through two games in which Bryce Young did not get injured is that, if being small is limiting, like, he needs some excessive skills, like, we should see some amount of those skills. And if we're seeing him just being totally bad as a result of being small, that's a different conversation. But I don't know that we're seeing that. So the to me, what he looks like being a referendum on the size, I'm not sure I see the connection. I think that those two things can exist. It's just that I'm not sure that they're related.
You disagree with that, Bryce? Or do you think that it's making it difficult for him to play quarterback?
I do. I do think it makes it difficult for him to play quarterback. I don't think he has an amazing arm. I don't think he's a cerebral mental processor. He's a fine athlete, but not a great athlete.
I feel like you changed your whole opinion of him after two games, and like, I'm not ready to go.
What? I didn't. No. All off season, I was skeptical of Bryce Young.
Okay.
No.
I hear you.
I was not on the Bryce Young train.
Yeah, but this is. Yeah, what I'm hearing, though, is a lot of stuff that's about, like, his capabilities and not about his size. Like,
well, I guess it's both. Bryce is saying that it's connected, that it's because he doesn't have good size and he doesn't have special talents, in Bryce's opinion, in other areas, he can't overcome his size in the way that peak Kyler Murray can, I guess, is Bryce's argument.
Yeah, like, Kyler Murray is extremely fast.
My audio clip, though. Justin, Mark, don't make that my audio clip, please.
Kyler Murray is very fast and has a very good arm. And he struggles with throwing the ball over the middle field and to the second level because he is small.
Baker Mayfield and Tua Tagovailoa are playing as well as anybody at quarterback right now.
They're small, ability. But like, they're not this, like, Bryce Young is built like a kicker. Like, there's Tua and Baker.
I worry about the frailty. I agree with you there. Now I'm going back to Alex's side. The frailty is not affecting his ability to throw the football, is it?
I don't think he can see.
All right, we'll leave it there.
Like Baker Mayfield and Tua are smaller quarterbacks, but
you also don't like
this, right? But they're not this small. Like, Kyler Murray is the closest thing in size to this because Kyler Murray is almost as short as Bryce Young. He definitely weighs more.
I do like that Lamar Jackson bulked up, that Tua bulked up.
And like Russell Wilson too is an example. Like, Russell Wilson is short, but
he was thick.
That's never the same.
Yeah,
conundrum.
Bryce Young is an anomaly. Like, there's no body about like him at the quarterback position in the NFL.
Yeah, but if we're talking about, again, not the injury part, like, Russell Wilson being thick is not really that relevant to his ability to, like, see the field and deliver the ball over the middle and that sort of thing, right? Other than being like willing,
Russell Wilson.
Let's stick with what Alex was saying. Alex, I think I agree with you, but the one thing I'll say is, if you're always worried about your quarterback getting hurt,
sure,
then you can only.
It's not just about, like, the other part of him being small is when you watch that Panthers game, a defensive lineman touches him and he falls down, like the. There's going to be a lot of plays in the NFL that turn into sacks because of his size that would not happen to other quarterbacks.
Okay. And noted Anthony Richardson fan, Bryce Rosler, I present you with cognitive dissonance.
What are we talking about?
You're talking about, like, the concussion?
I'm saying he's a big guy. He's a big guy that runs around that doesn't go down easily. Alex has been through this with Carson Wentz. It's a little bit of a two-edged sword.
But what you're what I'm missing your.
You're willing to put yourself into harm's way because you're bigger as a quarterback. That can also lead to injury risk.
I don't care as much about the injury stuff as you guys do.
Okay,
I care about not being able to see. I care about falling over.
Why do you see at Alabama then?
I think you're overselling what he did at Alabama. Like, he was a really good college quarterback, but he wasn't like throwing over the field.
I saw him make some throws even this past week. I saw him make some throws. So, all right, noted disagreement. Bryce, anti, Matt, still keeping an open mind. Let's flip over to Alex. Alex, what were some of the big differences that you saw from the preseason lines of the teams that you selected?
So I had the Giants under 8.5, and their current total is 6.5.
Very nice.
We feel fine with. I think the fact, like, I know getting absolutely destroyed by the Cowboys, like, looks really bad. I think that the fact that the number moved that much is a little weird, because I think it just shouldn't have been that high in the first place. But, and I think there's just like a sort of overreaction to the, like, if you thought that they were an 8.5 win team before week one, I don't know that what we saw in the first 2 weeks should move the needle that much. But my larger point is I think that the number was too high to begin with, which is why I took them under.
Yeah, I think that it's a really funny Daniel Jones thing. And being that I live here in New York, it's sort of extra funny, because right now there are two camps of Giants fans, what I would call not optimists and pessimists, but idiots and realists. I think if you're an idiot, you watch the second half of the Giants-Cardinals game and you think, no, maybe he is that guy. He figured it out again.
You said an important word. You said Cardinals.
Yeah, against the tanking team. Against the damn tanking team, he led a comeback. Congratulations.
Leading a comeback also. Like, leading comebacks is famously not something that you can pick up.
So the realists are like, oh no, why did he do this again? He keeps doing just enough for us not to fire his ass. Like,
also, your injury-prone best offensive player is already hurt.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
Well, who are we talking about?
Saquon.
This is a little disrespectful to Andrew Thomas.
Sure. Best skill position.
Agreed. Bryce, you need a win right now, and you're right about that.
Yeah.
Agreed.
That's fair. So, I don't think any of us is going to argue too much with the Giants. It's just interesting that they dropped by 2 expected wins.
And they're another team that has a win, and they're still at 6.5 along with the Jets. It's kind of interesting. The narratives... You can see how emotions play into these numbers.
And so the other ones that would have moved, I had the Bengals under. That's not really fair, in the same way that talking about the Jets is not necessarily fair if Burrow is going to be limited. And like, we don't really know what the deal is there.
He's not right now.
Yeah. Mm. So,
but under 11.5 is looking good based on basically you playing the... Regression to the mean is a little bit stronger than how good I think they are.
Sure, but I was not building in any particularly high assumption about the quarterback not playing.
You should have built the injury risk
model. Yeah, I mean, sure. Well, and he was, you know, he was dealing with some stuff before the season, so like, it's not out of left field that he's limited.
And also, wouldn't shock me if they went 12-5.
I mean, they were the team that went 0-2 and then made the playoffs last year. So, like, that's, they'll probably be okay. It's just a question of how big of a hole they dig before that happens. And then the other one I had very wrong, at least based on current estimates, we've already talked about them a little bit, is the Bucks. I had them under 6.5, and the line is now 8.5. So they have started off like gangbusters. Baker Mayfield is, I think, leading the NFL in total points. So, we probably should have given them more credit for having, in the same way that we're talking about like the Jets getting to mediocre, like having a pretty okay quarterback with the rest of that roster probably does look pretty good, especially in that division. They've definitely been more successful in offense than we probably anticipated. But I think that I was probably being a bit aggressive with taking under 6.5, given what the rest of the roster looks like, even if it's like kind of the same roster that they've had in the last few years, and therefore a year older.
Yeah, I don't think it was crazy. I think it's crazy that Mayfield's first in total points. Not because he hasn't played well, but it seems much better than we thought they were going to be, right? Like,
NFC South is the best
division. Like, is this going to persist? Like, what do you got, Bryce?
The NFC South is the best division.
I mean, let's go easy there.
3-2-0 teams, man.
And the Panthers that we just talked about being awesome.
Where do those wins have come from?
The Panthers' defense being good sort of makes sense to me.
That's a good year, yeah.
Sorry, and I meant to say the Buccaneers' defense makes sense to me. They really put it together on offense in a way that I didn't expect. I think mostly we probably are underestimating Baker Mayfield, which is probably fair, right?
Mike Evans turned back the clock too a little bit. He's been
Evans looking good.
Yep. Yeah.
And a heavy 12 personnel team there. We'd be interested to keep an eye on throughout the year if they tend to rely on that more. They've actually been better in 11 so far this year. So be interesting to see how they progress throughout the season. Looking at their offensive splits, maybe some late down success benefiting them, because I look at their offensive efficiency metrics. If you look at their positive percentage on early downs, they're ranked 29. On late downs, they're ranked 7th and 1st in terms of EPA. So sounds like some big plays on late downs are a big part of why they've been successful so far offensively. Defensively, I don't think they're a mirage. I think that's real. All right, let's keep it going and move it over to Bryce. Bryce, what were the biggest differences from your preseason selections till now?
I had the Cowboys over, 9.5, 10.5?
Over 9.5, and they're at 11.5 now.
It's looking pretty good.
Yeah, that feels pretty good. I don't think the Zach Wilson-led Jets and the Daniel Jones-led Giants are great teams, but they also pretty systematically dismantled them, which is what you want to see good teams do to lesser teams. I'm kind of surprised at how good they've been on offense with McCarthy calling plays. I mean, they moved the ball really well against the Jets, and I was admittedly skeptical of McCarthy coming in as a play caller just because his track record has been like very stale West Coast stuff, but maybe he's reformed.
We should consider Brian Schottenheimer as part of the brain trust there too, even though McCarthy's the one calling the plays.
That's probably fair. I mean, I'm obviously not in the building, so I don't know, but I think it's fair to be excited about the Cowboys right now. The one thing I will say is that I don't think that a full-time Tony Pollard experiment has gone exceptionally well in the first couple games, but it's 2 games. We'll see.
The Cowboys are getting more out of their offense because of what they're getting out of their defense to some extent in terms of field position and that kind of thing. Like, in terms of total points per play, they're 16th offensively, but they are just absolutely demolishing the league in terms of defense. And a lot of that is return scores and whatever and that sort of thing. But if you get your offense in good position to score points, it makes it a lot easier.
I'll say this about the Cowboys line. Over 9.5 felt, 9.5, we said at the time, it felt low, but our model was actually pointing the other way. Right now, clearly you'd love 9.5 there. I would love 10.5 also. 11.5, I'm like, all right, they just won 2 games against Daniel Jones and Zach Wilson. Are we really saying that this is going to be a 12-win team in the same division as the Eagles? Just like that? I think it's realistic. I think
Didn't they probably start 4-0, though?
Well, they what
changes your mind?
Yeah, they were the third best team in the NFC. They were that late wild card because the Eagles went gangbusters.
Yeah, they won 12 games last year.
Yeah. So they could win 12 games just like that. This goes back to what you were saying, Alex. Like, it hasn't done anything to like change my opinion. Like, what they've done is they've just, Micah Parsons has just embarrassed quarterbacks that have no business being on the same field as him, which we know they can do. I think 11.5 is pretty fair at this point. I don't know. Would you guys go over there based on what you're saying?
I might lean over if they already have 2 wins in the bank, but I don't feel super strongly about it.
All right, Bryce, you had one other big change. You took the Broncos at under 8.5, and you got to be feeling pretty good about that one. Also, they're sitting at 6.5 now.
Oh, yeah. I feel great about that one. Funnily enough, Russell Wilson has not been as bad as he was last year.
Which is why I wanted the other side of this one, because I expected Sean Payton to change that. The offensive line's been pretty brutal.
Yeah, I haven't watched. I full disclosure, I haven't watched the Commanders game, so I don't know what happened there, but he hasn't been a complete buffoon like he was last year, which is a little disappointing to me, but I still feel good about the under there. I mean, as I said in the offseason, I'm not sure that Sean Payton is like a 2 or 3 win improvement for them automatically, and the roster didn't change a whole lot. They have some tough games coming up on top of that.
Yeah, both those games they lost were at home. And like you talk to people around the league, like the biggest advantage early on of Denver is going to Denver early in the year, and they squandered 2 of those opportunities.
Yeah, and then they're at Miami this week. Then they play the Bears and the Jets. They might be able to get some games back, but then they're at Kansas City.
Speaking of Packers, advantages to going somewhere early, being at Miami in September can be a problem.
Yeah, and then Dolphins on the flip side have 1-2 games on the road to start the year and then have that nice trip back to Miami. So it's like those factors combined that you bring up, James, it makes it look like a tough one this week. That said, I know that it's not looking good right now, my faith in Coach Payton, but I like that over of 6.5 just based on that Russell Wilson seems to be leveling out. And I think they will have some crap teams that they play that they're able to get it together.
But losing to the Raiders and the Commanders doesn't dissuade you, I guess.
It dissuades me from 8.5, not 6.5.
I guess the counter argument is that both of those were close losses.
Yeah.
And you might expect some regression there.
And I think it takes time. I don't think they're very good, but I think that I would bet against them being very bad for the whole year.
So if you think it takes time, I would be curious to think what you think their record in the last 8 or 9 games of the season would be.
500.
They play at the Raiders in week 18, Chargers at home in week 17, Patriots at home in week 16, at Detroit in week 15, at the Chargers in week 14, at the Texans in week 13.
Very winnable and some very losable games.
Well, God knows playing the Chargers could be anywhere.
To Matt's point, their schedule is fairly...
The Chargers
twice, the Bills...
0-2 Chargers have only dropped their win total 1 game from over 9.5 to over 8 to 8.5, which is kind of interesting. So people aren't fully selling on that one in the way that they are some of these other teams that we talked about. All right, we got time for one more. I had one pick that moved by 2 games. That was the Bears under 7.5. And I still want to believe in Justin Fields, but it's starting to become more and more difficult to argue with people that believe that he just holds the ball too long and can't get the damn thing out of his hands. Bryce, you've been a Justin Fields supporter.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's getting a little harder to defend. Maybe the ship has sailed, but...
Maybe it's a Baker Mayfield type situation. This is a talented player. I wouldn't be ready to give up on him.
Yeah, I don't think this is a Baker Mayfield type situation because Baker Mayfield at least showed like... I don't know if it was like consistency, if that's the right word.
Baker Mayfield had productive stretches.
Maybe Sam Darnold.
Yeah, it's yeah.
I think that's fair. And you're right. He's never been good. He's shown flashes, but he's never been good.
And what do you make of them like leaning hard out of the rushing side of his skill set?
I think that's a mistake, but he's still got to be able to perform in the passing game.
Yeah, obviously like it's like saying, oh yeah, I'm gonna, you know, tie one hand behind your back to force you to do the things that we need you to do. But like, if your goal is to win games, it feels like a strange arrow to remove from your quiver.
Yeah, it's like the opposite of the Daniel Jones sort of approach. Like, we had this guy that we were trying to make into drop back, and once we realized, okay, he's just an athlete, let's do that. I mean, to your point, Alex, if you make Justin Fields like the backup in Philadelphia, I get like excited for like his full career, because then all of a sudden I feel like he might develop and start to figure out, you know, what he needs to do to be successful, and then he ends up with another team and becomes their franchise quarterback. Like, I still believe he has that kind of ability, but every time I say that, I'm doubling down on my past stupidity. So
I think the most discouraging thing is that the game hasn't sped up for him as much as you would want it to.
Even Stroud last week. I mean, and sometimes you see it right away. Usually there's 2 types of quarterbacks. Quarterbacks who have it right away and they kind of quickly become what they're going to be. And you have the quarterbacks that don't show it right away. And in those cases, they haven't shown it by year two, they usually don't show it. So tough one for him. So I'm happy that I took the under there. I took the under mostly because of organizational things outside of him, because I thought even if he was good, I didn't see them winning 7.5 games. They look as bad as they've been the past couple of years.
They'll always have 1985.
That's true. On that note, we will sign off and get out of here. For the SIS R&D Jamboree, Alex Vigderman, James Weaver, and Bryce Rossler, along with our producer, Justin Stein, I'm Matt Manicharian, and thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Off the Charts Football Podcast.